Let's read from chapter 60 of the book of Isaiah. We've read this a number of times before, but let's read it again tonight. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee, and thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The foes of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedah shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows?" It says here in chapter 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of path they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none; for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquity we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arms brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I repeat that. All right, I like that. He said, and this is my covenant, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That sounds real good, don't it? There's one thing that I really love, and that's the Word of God. And in that I love the Word of God, I love to read scriptures like this, because it said, and my word shall not depart out of thy mouth, thy lips, and neither out of thy seed's mouth or lips, nor out of thy seed's seed, that is, out of the children or the grandchildren or whatever it might be. My word shall not depart out of thy mouth. What is my word? The Bible said it's like a hammer that beateth in pieces. All things that are evil, it repels. I like the word for this reason. The Bible said, and he sent his word and healed them. And when the word is with us, then God brings us healing. You know, you can very easily look around and say, God, by thy stripes, I'm healed. Or look around and say, Lord, thy word hath healed me. Thy word hath... You know, I can stand here and I can say, now God has sent his word to heal you, but... It's another thing for me to look back at myself and say, now then God has sent his word and healed me. So then I like to look at that word and I like to say, now God, you have sent your word and healed me. You keep me healthy and you keep me strong and you keep me well and you bless me with all the blessings of life. The Bible promised that God would give us all things that pertain unto life. Isn't that right? And the Bible said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing, and that we should have all things that pertain unto life. You know, it's one thing to have life. It's another thing to have all things that pertain unto life. You know, we've got life and then we've got all things that pertain unto life. That gives us health and that gives us strength and that gives us happiness. That gives us the blessings upon our loved ones and all of the desires. Like a lot of times I pray, I say, Lord, bless my spiritual children here at Bethlehem and around the world, Lord. Bless my spiritual children. And I say, Lord, bless my wife. Over and over and over, many, many times, day and night, I say, bless my wife, Lord. Bless my wife with health. And don't let my wife have a hard way to go, you know. And don't let her be sick. And don't let her feel misery. Lord, don't do that. Let her be happy. Let her be healthy. And sure enough, she is. She's happy and healthy. She eats real good. And everything goes along real good with it. She works real good in the office. And she takes care of a lot of things, and she's a real helpmate to me. And I pray, God, help my children, my natural children. Lord, bless my natural children. You know, I can't take up a lot of time with my natural children unless they come to visit with me. But I still pray, Lord, help my natural children. Bless my relatives. Bless my brothers, my sisters. And bless my spiritual children. Especially these that are here at Bethlehem that is working and laboring with me and giving and sharing. Father, bless them and God, help them, because they're the ones that help me to have that special thrust to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So then I ask God to work with me and I ask God to help me, and he does. Then I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I don't know how many times you ever ask God to have mercy on you. I guess a lot of people don't feel that they need all that mercy. But with me, I need a whole lot of mercy. And I found myself saying over and over, over in the middle of the morning, you know, I wouldn't be saying anything, but I just come to myself and I said, have mercy on me, have mercy. Oh God, have mercy on me. And I might have said that 50 times over and over and over. Have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Oh my God, have mercy on me. Because I need a lot of mercy, being a minister and traveling around the different parts of the world and carrying on a pastoral work here at Bethlehem. I need lots of mercy. And I wish you'd pray that God would have mercy on me. And I pray, God, have mercy on me. And then I pray, God, have mercy on these people at Bethlehem and help these people at Bethlehem. And not only here, but around the world, Father, bless these people and have mercy on them. And I find that one of the great, wonderful things that thrills my heart and really helps me is that if I can remember that his word is supposed to be on my lips and his word is supposed to be in my mouth and his word is supposed to be ringing in my ears. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and not by the word, as to say, faith cometh by the word, but faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing comes by the word. So then the faith of my heart comes because I heard something. I heard something. Somebody spoke and I heard something, and thus faith began to ring out into my heart. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then I love to hear people talk about the word. I love to exchange conversation with the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if that be true, then what are you going to do when you read the Bible? You read the Bible, you didn't hear anybody say anything. You mean you don't get any faith out of that? I certainly do, because I hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And when I hear what the Spirit is saying, then faith cometh by hearing. So I hear the word of God, like in the Old Testament. And the Bible said that the word of the Lord came unto the prophets, or they heard the word of God. See, and when you hear the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whether I hear Brother Taylor speak as to God speaking through Brother Taylor, or whether I just hear the Spirit as it was with David as to the sound of the rushing in the mulberry tree, I still can hear God, and I can still follow God and know that God is speaking unto me. That thrills my soul. You know, we're creatures of time, and time is running out. How do you know that? We need to really press in and get the word of God, especially in the day that we're living in. In the day that we're living in, we really need to press in and get the word of God. Because in the day that we're living in, we need the word of God. God's word comes and heals us. God's word comes and saves us. God's word is what changes us. God's word is what created the world and all that therein is. He upholds the world by his word. He hath made us and all of our environment by the word of God. And we are creatures of time as to the natural birth in this world. We're creatures of time, and time eventually consumes a time creature. See, in that you are creatures of time, then that means time is the power of consummation. And time is consuming, ever consuming, always time is consuming. I said a few days ago, I get people here to work with me, and we do things around here, and after 2 or 3 years, some of them kind of get the idea that I'm using their life up. And truly, I am using them for God, and I'm asking God to use them and to use me. But anyway, they get the idea that I'm using their time up, and they're not getting all the goodies of the world, you know. And they're not going on into all the vain jangles of the world. And they get to wanting to withdraw, to have a little bit on the side and do a little bit on the side and go some places on the side. Do something that might be stimulating to them, you know, as to the things of the world. But I'm not using you up. I've said this before, you know, it doesn't matter whether you come here or you don't come here. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you work for God or you don't work for God. That doesn't matter. Time is using you up, and time is consuming you, and after a while, time is going to get the best of you. Just don't do anything. Sit down in a rocking chair at home, or stay at home. Don't go anywhere, but time will still get you. Sooner or later, time will consume you. Time will eat you up. Time will swallow you up, and after a while, you'll find out that you're completely wasted away because of time. All right, so then we know that we are time creatures by our first birth. But folks, when we're born again, we're no longer a time creature. When we're born again, then we are eternal creatures, and time doesn't consume us anymore. Time isn't consuming me, because I am eternal. There's no power of consummation that can consume me, not even Lucifer himself. Because I am born again, and I am born of God. And this is not something that was just given to me yesterday, as we say, or the last little bit. That wasn't the way that I got this eternal life. I had this before the world ever was. Before the world ever was, I had the joy with God. Before the world ever was, I was in the loins of my heavenly Father. And as it was with Abraham and they of old back there, when the Bible speaks of some of these that, where it said, and while they were yet in their father's loins, they paid tithe. They paid tithe, and I was yet in the loins of my father when my father said that he is mine. You know, and it was with the prophet before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. He said, God called me and ordained that I should be a prophet. And as it was with Judas, before Judas was ever born into the world, it was said, let another his bishopric take. Because he was to be a betrayer. He was to go into a condition to where the devil would possess him and consume him. But see, we have this in God. And the Bible said that God has given us this in Christ before the world ever was. And the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, God saw the blood there. In his foreknowledge, he slew the Lamb at Calvary there. And now we've come to the time as to comprehend this greatness given to us in God before knowledge, before the world ever was. Elect according to foreknowledge. Brought to light at Calvary when the veil was rent in twain and this great wonderful thing was revealed. And then down through the church ages preached to us. And we are as in our generation as to being born into this world. Then we are here comprehending the heights and the depths and the width and the length of this wonderful thing. See, God is doing all this for us. So then we're no more time creatures. But they that are out of the world, they're time creatures. And they're controlled by the tick of the clock. By the tick of the clock. You know, you'd be shocked if you have never considered time or never studied anything about it or know nothing about it. You'd be shocked at how much they are controlled by time out there in the world. You know, they have what they call microseconds. How do you know what microseconds are? They have what they call, we have like the clock, and then we have the seconds on the clock. And then we have what we call microseconds, which as we would say, as to a millionth, when we bring that thing down to a millionth. You know, and somebody said, Brother Pike, that's just too much. I can't get a hold of that. But nevertheless, you know, out on the ships and wherever, when we have those little things that we went by there, we have to go by those minute seconds. See, and through wavelengths, they control like the voyages and the things like that through these kind of seconds. That is to say, not a microsecond, but they control them by a nanosecond, which when we say a microsecond as of a millionth, you understand what I'm saying? Then we come down to the nanosecond of a billionth. See, and then we really get to where we say, my God, a billionth. But yet these things are controlled that way through the universe and around wherever it might be. And somebody would say, well, I think, Brother Pike, that that's just, you know, that's just cloud reasoning. But they don't stop there. They come down to a picosecond, which is in the trillionths. Now, so it sounds like that they are controlled by time. Everything they do is controlled by time. See, and they say there's about 50 of these clocks that's splitting the seconds as to a remarkable thing. Atomic clock around the world as to Paris, as to America, as to Germany, wherever it might be, or over in Russia, we'll say. See, and then when we come down as to these things, we say, you know, are people actually controlled by this? This is the way that they're controlled, because they're time creatures. And when we get down to something like that, we just say, well, Brother Pike, my God, you know, how do you do that? I mean, how do they do that? See, but they're time creatures, and they understand that, and yet they do not understand time. Even until today, they can't figure out time. You and I understand time, but they can't understand time. They can't understand time. See, and somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, when you just get down to the trillions, you know, that's just too far out. But they don't stop there. They come down to the femtosecond. And when they get on down there, they begin to take that as from the picosecond, as to the thousandths of the picoseconds, whereas the picoseconds comes down to the trillionths. And then they break down the trillionths to get down to the femtosecond. So then we talk about what scientists is doing, and we talk about what God is doing, and folks, here they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But here we are in God knowing all things. Let's give the Lord a hand. And the Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. So then we know all things through Christ.
Christ, our Savior. He gives us life and He gives us strength and He gives us blessing. The Bible said, arise, for thy glory has come. Did you know that the glory of the church is here? Did you know that this is the time to arise? And the Bible said they shall arise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And this is the time to rise up. Father, the glory of God has risen upon us. Did you know that ever since Calvary, God has been pouring out His Spirit upon the just and the unjust? But did you know that with us, the glory of God has risen upon us? And the Bible said, you are the light of the world. The light of the world. My, what a glory. And just one individual that's been born again, unveiled, would outshine the brightness of the noonday. All right, so then we see where we're going, we see where we're at, we see where we've been. But I thank God because I'm not bound with time. See, people still don't understand time. It's like I was talking to a brother here the other day, or one or two of the brethren was just talking out there. You know, we say, and in the beginning, you know, was the Word. And I like that when we get back to the Word. For God created all things by the Word. He upholds all things by the Word. And the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And that's wonderful. As I say so often, in the beginning was the Word. And all things emanated from the Word. And God has created all things by His Word. And everything is here by the Word of God. But, as I say so often, what about before the beginning? What about before the beginning? Someone would say, well, I'm interested in from the beginning on. Well, that's because you're a time creature. Yeah, that's because you're a time creature, because in the beginning was time. And time got started in the beginning. And what the beginning was, it was the beginning of time. But see, that's not where we're at. I was before time ever came. Let's give the Lord a hand. Long before time ever came, I was. I am. I forever shall be, Jesus said. So then that means that going back beyond time, going back beyond the beginning or beyond the clock or beyond the sun and the dials, going back before time ever got started. See, I'm looking at God. I'm looking at God. Somebody would say, well, but God was in the beginning. God was in the beginning. God was before the beginning. See, God had to be before the beginning or there'd never been a beginning. See, God was before the beginning. How many of you agree that God was before the beginning? God was before the beginning, and the beginning emanated from God. That's what brought the beginning, was God. See, the Bible said God is without beginning. Is that Bible? Let's give Him another hand. God is without beginning, and God is without end. There is no beginning and end with God. So then, God is without beginning. So God was before the beginning, and the beginning came from God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then I say, what was God doing before the beginning? Now, boy, that would really baffle science. What was He doing before the beginning? What was He doing before time came along? What did God do before there ever was any time? You know, a lot of times we say this as to saying, using the expression times, as to times we say this, because when we say this, it was at a periodic moment, you know, and we come forth and say at another periodic moment, we say this. But looking beyond time, let's say it like that. Before time, going back into the primordial past, way before time, getting way back before time. Now, when you say way back, how are you going to tell how far back you are? How are you going to tell that you're way back? Because when we say way back, we say way back in time. 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago. So how are you going to tell how far back that you're going? I'm just saying that before the beginning, before God ever came forth and said, let there be light, He was already light. He was already light. God was already light. But the light could not be revealed as to a creature that had been made, as to any substance that would emanate from God other than what God already was. If this thing would come forth, take on form, or God would have any act of creation as to what we know, scientifically speaking, that is to say knowledge-wise, as to a definition of an object. See, before the beginning, there was light, but light had to strike something that it might be revealed. It had to strike something. And what was it that it had to strike? That's why we see way back, as we say, before the beginning, God was creating. God was making angelic beings, but they were not as to a creative beginning, as to you and I, as to this thing that is a tangible substance, because angels are not tangible. See, they're invisible, they're spiritual. So then they were way back there. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pontney, you said you was way back there. That's right. I was way back there. See, the angels were way back there. But they couldn't even be compared to Junior. As to me, I was far, far before the angels. Far, far. Someone would say, well, now, Brother Pike, let's see how far back you was. Remember, the Bible said, in heaven we're all as the angels. That is, as spirits, I make my angels quickening spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. We're changed from this mortal as a soul into the spiritual realm. And we're not in the flesh anymore. And we're not in the body anymore. Not in the world anymore. But God has translated us as to the inner spiritual being, the angelic being, into the Spirit of Christ, into the angelic world. Isn't that right? So then we are in the spiritual realm. For we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the Bible said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the desire or the lust of the flesh. So then we're not time creatures. We're not caught with the microseconds or whatever it might be. Time is not ticking our life away. When you say a time creature, what you're saying is that this is somebody that has a time to be born and a time to die. Or you're saying that this is something here that has a beginning and has an end. That it starts with the tick of a clock, in that it is a time thing that's involved. Or it's caught within a radius or a rim of time elements. And the consummation of this thing will depend, that is the life of it, as to the consummation upon time. So then when we say, well, Brother Pike, what was you back there? I was a angelic spiritual being. And in that angelic spiritual being, as to what I was, so I still am. But I had to pass through the chambers of life as to the natural forms and creations of life, because only life, the only life there is spirit. But I had to come down from there, like the song says, down from his glory. Had to come down from there. And coming down from there, I had to pass through these realms of forms, this weird world, going through these forms, these beast forms, and all of these things, passing through this thing as in this world. See, and going right on toward my heavenly home. I never will forget the vision I had, where I'd come, and I'd come down like this, and then I started through the shadows, and I was going through a valley. I could see a little light and then shadows. It was like the trees matted together and the sun shining down through the trees. And a little light here and a little light there, speckled all over the ground, spotted all over the ground, as to the darkness and then the light. And the darkness I saw was making known to me the light. And through this, I walked up this long trail till I got to my home. And the light was revealed to me by the shadows. And so then I'm saying that as from glory to glory on the inside, I'm passing through the shadows. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is thy word and thy spirit. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely to God that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, so then we see the angels was way back there, and I was way back before they were. So then we say, now, Brother Pike, if you was way back before the angels, even Michael and Gabriel, When did God put you together? What time was it when God put you together? Well, that's just it. He didn't. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. You say God didn't put you together? Of course not. Of course not. How could God put me together when I and my Father were one? Let's give the Lord a hand. I was in the loins of my father. I was back there, one with God, long before he ever brought the angels forward. How far back is that? Long way back. That's farther than science can go. That's beyond the time barriers. Somebody talks about going back in time. I hear science, you know, and they still have this little thought in their mind that perhaps there's a possibility that maybe we could go back in time, but they don't know how. See, but here I am. I'm done, went back in time and just jumped over the boundaries of time and went back into eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody say hallelujah. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Somebody said, now you didn't go back in time. I just showed you where I was before time ever got started. Somebody say hallelujah. Time hath no power over God's creature. Time hath no power. That's why Jesus could walk through the walls. He walked through the walls because the walls are, they are an exhibit of time. Or they are a constitution of atomic particles that is a consistency that consists, or they are there because of time. You know, it's like scientists. They've learned that within an atom, a little atomic particle, you know, you have to magnify into view, as we say. Actually, you have to comprehend it into understanding. But anyway, they take this little atomic particle and they've learned that on the inside that there is something moving, it's in motion. You know, and they try through trachology to find that thing and to follow that thing, to tell about it, and they break it down. That's how they get their minute seconds. That's how they break it down into atomic parts as to splitting, as we say, of the seconds. See, and they track that thing and follow that thing around in there because they can get right down to what would appear to be the infinite, and yet it isn't the infinite. Because when it comes to the little atomic particle that they play with, like a child chasing it on the inside, you know, going around and around. We brought this out on tape somewhere. We broke the little atom down and the molecules down and spoke to you of the little electrical sparks in there and what these things have to do with. See, we don't stop there. That's nothing to us. We transcend that because that is a barrier of time. That's as far back as they can go. When they get to the electrons, the protons, the neutrons, they have to stop. They can track them as to the spin of them, you know, but they have to stop. But that's just a starting point for us. Because from thence, we use that as the launching pad to go right out into the great infinite where there is no atomic particles, where there is no natural substance as to a conformity of formation. And we go right on out. See, we consider ourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus as to this image of sin, as an Adam all die. This time creature, leave it behind by Calvary. And the Bible said that we're no longer in the flesh. God has chosen us out of the flesh. He had us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. So then we're not in the flesh. We reckon ourselves then to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, buried in baptism, remission of sin, and the body of the death is gone. And God doesn't see our bodily image anymore, the bastard child image. And God is looking at us through that wonderful resurrected Christ as that changed image in that we were in Christ before the world ever was. As the one with him. When Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. And that bride that Christ is looking for, it's that membership of his body as to what it was before the world ever was. As Adam lost the bride, then it was shown that as to a natural type, this is what happened to the body of the Lord Jesus. So then that body that was made in the image of God, that beautiful, glorious body, Jesus came to Calvary to redeem it and to change it back to its originality, to bring it back to the condition of its origin, that it might have that glory that he might say, arise and shine, for thy glory has come. So then we can arise and shine because our glory has come. Not as to a natural illumination of atomic light as to show a type, but as to that which created the atomic particles. And the Bible speaks as to the consummation of the world and the very elements being on fire. They shall melt even the heavens with fervent heat. Because we know that all of our heavenly surroundings are atomic particles. And we know that they're the elements that surround us from which we get our oxygen. And this is our means of living because we too are a composition of atomic particles. And we're nothing but a bunch of electrical sparks. That's all we are as to the natural source. And should the spirit depart from us, our body is dead. Because there's nothing to generate anymore. It's like taking the generator out of a car. See, from the time God breathed the breath of life into us, that little old heart began to pump. And when it began to pump, the blood began to race around through us, creating friction that we might continually go. Have you ever been in the dark, pull the shirt off, whatever, and just look and see the hair stand up? And every time you move your shirt or whatever, little sparks will just jump everywhere. That's what you are. Somebody was, well, I don't really believe that. Well, that's what you are. I'm glad that I'm more than just a composition of this atomic material. Like they dropped the bomb, the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, different places. Everything burst into flames. As a matter of fact, they said even the little children playing out on the school grounds, all of a sudden they become a torch, a human torch. They burst into flames. And the Bible speaks of this, saying that the heavens being on fire, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All the earth shall be turned into ashes. What manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation, looking unto and hastening unto the coming of the Lord? Knowing that these things are coming, knowing that this is our environment, knowing even like little Bethlehem here right now, we are going on the station over in Lebanon, over in Israel, to preach to those people. There is the Israelites, to move the veil from their eyes as to what part we have in it, and to bring forth the wonderful things of God. For the Bible said, as it is written out of Zion, shall go forth the deliverer and turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And right at this present moment, that indicates that Christ, the deliverer, will go forth and to go into all the world, preach the gospel to the Jews. Or said every creature. So then, as the Christ goes forth, as to whether my testimony or your testimony or their testimony or whoever God chooses to put this into their heart to unveil, so it is that the Christ goes. And then as to the deliverer, as to the Jesus himself, as to the body in that day returning, that they may see the nail prints in his hand, that thing is coming to pass. It's got to come to pass. But there is, as to the Christ, to try to open their eyes and move this veil that they may be able to see. As a matter of fact, it says right here in this 58th chapter right here, it says right here, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Judah their sins. It's right here at us while we're talking about it. Southern preachers, they cry out aloud sometimes. But I'm just saying that we are eternal creatures. So then we were with the Father before the world ever was. And God gave this to us in Christ Jesus. So we're not interested in the elements of time. Or we're not interested in the transitional changes of time. Like the songwriter said, and time is filled with swift transition. Naught on earth can stand. There's nothing in that world that will continue. See, but we are founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, not on the shifting sands of theology. So then we are eternal. We've always been eternal. Always been eternal. We are a part of God. How do you know that you're a part of God? Somebody says, well, I don't know about that. Well, what does the Bible mean when it says you are born of God? If you're born, wasn't Jesus part of God? He was born of God. Wasn't he part of God? If he was born of God and he was part of God and I'm born of God, then what am I a part of? I'm a part of God. Isn't that right? See, I am a part of God. If I am members in particular of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible said, and that was the word as to the Spirit made flesh, then if I am born of his bone and flesh of his flesh and born of his spirit, then what am I? If he said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. Then this tells me why that the Lord said something to Job. As to saying, where was you before the world ever was, before the foundations of the earth was laid, when the sons of God leaped for joy? See, in the full knowledge of God, there we were, and we were with Christ Jesus, and we were one with Christ. And Jesus said to the others, you're of the earth, and you're of the dust, and to the dust thou shalt return. As God said as to Adam, as to the natural, when it fell to sin, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. But that Christ image, it didn't come from the dust, neither did it go back to dust. It come to Calvary. And today it is in me, and I am one with it. And it was restored as to me, and I was restored unto that image, not as to illumination, as the overshadowing as to Mary, but I have been born inwardly, inbred in this, in me, and I and it, and we are one. My Father is a spirit, and my angelic being is a spirit, and now it's become one with Christ, or the eternal Father, so we're one on the inside. Someone would say, well, all of your mistakes, Brother Pike, my mistakes has nothing to do with it. The body of that mistake and the body of beast is dead. It's buried. It's gone. I'm delivered from the body of this death. My inner man is perfected forever by Christ Jesus. And it's one with Christ. And it has been made perfect. And I have now the righteousness of Christ, because it's not me living, but Christ that liveth on the inside of me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Now we're making discoveries. As we make this discovery, then we have a different kind of believing. Isn't that right? If the faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and if this is the word of God, and not me speaking, but God speaking to you, and God is within his temple, then that means that you're getting a new understanding. If you're getting a new understanding, you are getting a new believing. And that believing is not your human believing, but it is Christ's believing. As to believe what God said about it. If you believe what God said about it, then as you think, so ye are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And God will feed him the fruits of his thinking, all the fruits of his thoughts. Whatever his thoughts is, God will feed him the fruits of that thinking. So then if I think like the Lord Jesus, then am I what? What does an elephant think like? What does a lion think like? What does a God think like? Let's give him a hand. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why that we read here where the Bible said, and you're not to let these words depart out of your mouth. Keep them in your ears. Always keep them before your eyes. So it's so wonderful to know that we are God's. He hath made us members of his body in particular, and we are not hinged upon time. There's no time element involved in our life. We did not have a time to be born, thus we shall not have a time to die. So then if you did not have a time to be born, then how can you have a time to die? See, we were before the world ever was, elect according to foreknowledge. And when we came down here in this body, then of course we are born again, as we say. Oh, that is, we are carried again by another body. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. And there's a glory of the natural, there's a glory of the spiritual. For there's one glory of one star as to differ from another star in glory. There's one glory of the moon, there's another glory of the sun. So then we find that as a woman's hair is her glory, so is the strength of a young man his glory. And we find that glory is different, but with you and I, we have the very glory of God. For Christ Jesus on the inside of us is the hope of that glory. For the Bible said he alone was made heir to that glory. So then he on the inside is our hope of that glory. And as this glory is made manifest, as to be released on the inside of us, we're changed from one thought as to a natural thought, to a God thought, as to the natural mind, as to the spiritual mind. Or my mind is taken out of that mind of debauchery, as to that veil of death, which is the intellectual infiltration of Lucifer. And as one little light comes, then one little thought, the darkness is taken away. Another little light comes, another little thought, and another bit of darkness is taken away. And now I've got two thoughts in light, and then three thoughts in light, and then my mind is translated into the light. And the Bible said, God, having delivered us from darkness, hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light. And we pass from death as to darkness or intellectual or carnal thinking and reasoning as to our own understanding. And now my spirit that was in captivity to darkness and death, he has washed all of that infiltration out of the garment, as we say. And now my spirit has been taken to his spirit and translated into the marvelous spirit of Christ. And on the inside, I and he are one. As the safeguard within the garment, so are we, spotless before God. And the Bible said we keep ourselves even by the seed of Christ, even the word of faith purifying the heart. We keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not. Never does he ever touch us at any time. So then are we perfect before him? Not all of you are clean. Jesus said to the 12, not all of you are clean. Not all of you. Not all of you. He said, I've chosen 12. Out of that, is not one of you a devil? So it is today. Not all are clean. I've spoken unto you, and my word has made you clean, but not all of you, because all of you have not received my word. And without the word, as to the hearing of the word, as to the reception of the word, then you didn't have faith. And without faith, then you wasn't purified, because the Bible said God purifies our hearts by faith. Thus, are you still in darkness and creatures of darkness? And I read to you here that gross darkness would cover the people. Intellectual constraint of education, of human reasoning and gullible desire, as the human infatuation as to their natural carnal way of life, to delight themselves in the things of the flesh and to follow after that which Satan save us. But some of you are not of this world. Even as I'm not of this world, Jesus said, you're not of the world, and the world will hate you because the world loveth its own. You won't conform to its way. You won't be its prestigious leaders. You won't go after that of the world. You won't be in the natural as to the carnal resentment and jealousy and fault finding and bitterness and haughtiness and arrogance. You won't be that, so you cannot be part of the world, and the world will not love you, because the love of the world is an instigation by Lucifer, and Satan won't love you. He'll hate you, because light and darkness hath no fellowship, and on the inside you are light and darkness cannot touch you, and on the outside you are dead and buried in the wonderful name of Jesus. And God now sees the body and bone of Jesus Christ, so Satan hath no part in this, because Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me. All right, let's stand together. Taylor, I promised to pray over one or two prayer cloths. I suppose we have some of them here, some more perhaps. But anyway, I promised that I'd pray over one especially for somebody that they're expecting to have to put in a wheelchair. As a matter of fact, the woman I think is a school teacher right now. But she says that in Florida where she lives, that it is lawful that you can take your own life. That's the first time I ever heard of that. But I was informed that that's the way it is. And that she is seriously thinking about taking her own life because of what they said is going to happen to her. It's gradually setting in on her. And of course, as I say to you so many times, you know you should be so careful, so very careful, because you never know what's working on you. You never know. It's a brother that was here with us. He was a very healthy man, one of the most healthy people among us. He done his own thing with full confidence that what he was doing would lead to a great outstanding thing and make him a great outstanding person. I told the brethren it would lead to sorrows and heartaches, and it did. And it is unreal as to what has happened to him. Had another brother here that done the same thing, and he thought it would lead to greatness, and it led to the loss of his health, the loss of his family. His whole life turned into a nightmare. We've had numbers of them that left here that I could go on and say things concerning. So you need to stop and think. You really need to stop and think. What kind of person are you? The Bible said that you ought to be a holy person. In all your thoughts and all of your conversations, you should be a holy person. The Bible said, he that the Lord doth choose shall be holy.
He shall be holy. The Bible said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. These are kind of hard to get apart. They have a tendency to want to stick together, so it takes me a minute or two to get them apart. Now, I don't know whether Sister Cook's here or not. I don't see her tonight. Randy had asked for one of these. Is Randy here? Okay. Oh, yeah, I see him now. I wondered a while ago. We're going to pray and ask God to especially anoint us, and that His Spirit should come upon the person that receives a prayer cloth. Some of you have been asking for prayer cloths, and if you have, we've got a few of them here that we try to anoint from time to time, and when you come, it's a little disappointing sometimes because everybody doesn't get a prayer cloth and they feel real disappointed. Now, I don't mean for it to be like that with you. It's not my desire that it should be like that, but I don't know just exactly what to do. Let's just pray together and remember that one of these goes to Randy. And then the rest of you that comes, is a number of them here, that as you come, I'll be glad to give you a prayer cloth. Is there anybody here that has asked for a prayer cloth before that didn't get it so that we can kind of give them a chance? I have a number of people that asked for prayer cloths. All right, and I'll just let you come when we pray. Now just stretch your hand out toward us and let's pray together. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, dear God, we're thankful tonight for your wonderful blessings. Lord, as we lay hands upon these prayer cloths tonight, I ask that the anointing of the Lord come upon us, that they might be anointed, and upon the people as to the inspiration of faith. Grant it, O God. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee from the people to whom these cloths will go. In the name of Jesus tonight, the Lord rebuke thee tonight, Satan, from these sick bodies, rebuking the spirits from these bodies to whom these cloths will go. That every yoke be broken, that faith be there in God Almighty, that healing be there. That is the elders of old, we may receive a good report. Father, heal. I felt you heal already. Heal even as the aprons that went out from Paul's body. I pray, Father, that you'll heal. Make well tonight. Heal and rebuke evil spirits. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. All right. Just come and get one at a time. Now, don't try to get two. Just one at a time. All right, don't try to get two. Just one at a time. Can't have but one. Here, Randy. All right, got something going tonight. That's unusual. I don't think we've ever done that before. Sister Betty here is several here. Okay, Brother Taylor wants one. I put my handkerchief back in my pocket. Thought it was going to run short, and I'd give it away tonight. All right. Who is this for? All right. Can we sing together? Let's just sing together. My heart sings out as I pause to remember that heartaches here are but a stepping stone along the trail that's leading ever upward. This troubled world
is not my final home. Sing that with me. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Sing that chorus again. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Sing one more time. Oh, until then,
my heart shall go on singing.
Until then, by faith I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Fill my cup, Lord. I live Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I thirst no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Can you sing it with me? Fill my cup, Lord. Oh, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I thirst no more. Lift me up and make me. Oh, can you sing it one more time? Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I thirst no more. Lift me up and make me whole. You love the Lord? God is so good. Let's sing another little chorus. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away.
It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Growing sweeter each day, grow sweeter each day. God's love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter. Can you sing that with me? Growing sweeter each day. God's love grows sweeter along life's way. All through the garden I can hear my Savior say, this love grows sweeter. Come into my heart, oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today. And come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I care not today what the morrow may bring, whether sunshine, shadows, rain. For I know my Lord ruleth all everything, and all of my worries are vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith. And I feel no alarm. I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I need is the love of Jesus.
for to me. God's everything.
Can you sing that one?
So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no worldly thing. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything.
Somebody say hallelujah.
He's good to us. He leads us and he guides us every step of the way.
Sing this little chorus, can we?
We're going to let you go in a few minutes. Sometimes I hold you for a few minutes to refresh your minds, to break your spirits down, to cause your bodies to conform, to get you into the wonderful thoughts of Jesus Christ. You know, every time that we come here, we should be so filled with the Spirit that we'd be like a burning bush every time we hit the floor. But the preacher has to keep on keeping on, you know, in the day we're living in, and with the saints that's in the day we're living in, they barely have enough. And it was said at the midnight cry, things had got so tight at the midnight cry, it was said at the midnight cry, give us of your all. Said, we can't do that, we don't have enough. But in the starting of the revival, when the revival broke out years ago, they had so much they could pray for hours at the altar and they could share the all with one another. But at the midnight cry, it's going to get so dark. Until it's going to be different. And you can take tale of the midnight cry setting in as to that intellectual pressure. That's what the darkness is. It's the midnight cry. People are becoming so intellectual they don't even have any to share with anybody else. They just got enough for themselves. Just enough. They used to be holy and godly people that could shout and praise God and testify and work for Christ. Fast and pray. All night long they'd have services. They were so filled with the Spirit and the exuberance of Christ. But now, you know, they find themselves asking questions as to say, Lord, am I right? God, will I make it? Oh, God, help me. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I didn't mean to do that. Years ago, they just walk over those things like there wasn't anything. They had victory, my, they had victory. They had a faith that was a victory that overcometh the world because they lived right, they talked right, they acted right. Them was holy folks. The Bible speaks of the time when God will share with his people saying, and now it has come time to give reward to my holy apostles and prophets. Holy, be holy, for I am holy. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's sing this little chorus.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in.
One more time.
Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in.
Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. This should be our testimony, bringing in the sheaves. Going out into the highways and the hedges, compelling them to come in, that the house of God might be filled up gathering jewels for the master's bouquet. While our eyes are closed and our hands are lifted up, we're going to sing that little song, I Will Praise Him. Remember, He's the Lamb that was slain for you and I. That's why we worship Him in song, and that's why that we give honor and praise and glory to Him, is because He is our Master. We're not something that's foreign to God. He is our Master. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, all of His people. For praise is comely to the upright. While we sing together. And I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Can you sing it again? I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us once again, and I will praise. But ask Brother Roger to come up here if he will.
I will praise Him.
Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. And give Him glory, all people, for the blood has washed away. Once again, we're going to sing. And I will praise. While we're singing this, Andy, how about setting your offering baskets out here?